Now, it's Friday and it's Lent. That means people in Wisconsin are going to be indulging in fish fry. Perhaps your meal is coming from your favorite fish fry establishment. It seems like everyone's got one of those. Or, you know, you could make it at home. That's our goal on this Food Friday. We're talking about a way to make fish light and perfectly crispy. And you got to have fries, right? And if fried fish isn't the way you want to go, there are many other ways that you can. Crab, lobster, scallops, clams. The list goes on. Join us at 800-642-1234. What's your favorite seafood dish? Do you have a go-to way of preparing it? What questions do you have about making the seafood that you love but can't quite get right? 800-642-1234 is the number you can call. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org. Dan Zuccarello is the executive food editor for cookbooks at America's Test Kitchen. Dan, nice to have you back on Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
I mean, I know it's like picking your favorite child, but do you have a favorite seafood dish?
Well, actually, you know, that is a hard question because, you know, our test kitchen is located in Boston, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And so we have an abundance of seafood available to us. I guess if I had to choose, I'd have to go with lobster. I mean, we're a New England, you know, a good boiled lobster, you can't go wrong.
Okay, I appreciate you humoring us on that one. I know it's tough, and I hope you don't get any hate for it. When we're talking about fish, your cookbook seems to say that fish is easy to make, and I have not necessarily had that experience. It can be hard. You can overcook it easily. It can taste kind of too fishy. Help us boost our confidence a little bit when going into the kitchen and dealing with fish.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think people really love fish. It's healthful. It's quick cooking. It's absolutely delicious. But that being said, you're right. It can be really intimidating to cook. It's delicate. It can be expensive. You know, some varieties are more prone to overcooking than others. I think if I'm going to offer some tips to just kind of address some of those things, I would say the biggest thing, I always recommend people invest in a good digital instant read thermometer. You know, the temperature that you cook your seafood to can really play a big role in the success of the recipe. And so a good instant read thermometer will really make sure that you're not overcooking your fish. You know, salmon, we normally cook to 125 degrees. Thick fish fillets, 130 degrees. If you have a thermometer that can kind of quickly tell you that you're right there, you're on your way to success.
When you're dealing with fish, does it continue cooking when you take it out of the pan like some other meats? Or when you hit, do you want to hit that temperature in the pan? I mean, I just have so many questions.
Well, you know, there is a lot of carryover cooking with, you know, different cuts of protein. I think with fish, because you tend to use or be cooking smaller portions, the amount of carryover cooking isn't as extreme as maybe a large roast beef. But still, you should keep that in mind. A lot of our recipes, we kind of plan that into the recipe. And so when you read our recipes, you know, we tell people to cook a piece of fish to a certain temperature, assuming that it's going to continue to cook before you serve it.
Fish fry is huge here in Wisconsin. So we do want to make sure that we can talk about how to make our own. We have your recipe for fish and chips posted at WPR.org/Food Friday. So to start, what kind of fish works best for this recipe?
Yeah, so, I mean, we're like I mentioned, located in New England. And so, you know, haddock and cod are really prevalent here. But this recipe really works with all sorts of fish. Lake fish are really, you know, one of the things I love about fried fish in general is you really can apply it to any type of fish because the frying of fish, it's easily, you know, moved around because even if you have small pieces of fish, you can just pull them faster than maybe larger pieces of fish. So frying fish is actually a really kind of universal technique for cooking fish well, which is great. So, you know, again, a lake fish, you know, if you can find haddock or hake or pollock, those are all really great fish. But, you know, any of your favorite fish will work well here.
And what is the secret to that, like, perfectly crispy fish, that really, like, light experience?
Yeah, so for our recipe, it's a couple of things. I think the biggest is this combination of flour and cornstarch. So it's a 50-50 ratio of all-purpose flour and cornstarch. The cornstarch really is there to help with the crispness. It's kind of a spin on, a Japanese tempura, which, classically has cornstarch in it. So that's really going to help ensure some crispness. We certainly add beer to the batter here. The, carbonation of the beer is also going to help with the crispness as well.
You also use a Dutch oven. What's the deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, we love using our Dutch oven for a lot of different things. The big thing here is that, the cast iron that a traditional Dutch oven is made with is a really good retainer of heat. And it's a really good way to ensure an even heat. And that's really important when you're deep frying because you have these fluctuations in temperature, which you want to moderate because you want a high heat temperature to really get that, amazing crisp crust with your French fries and with your fish.
Yeah. And talk about the French fries. You use Yukon Gold potatoes. And what do you do to make those crispy and make sure that they turn out so you don't have the outside done and then the inside that, kind of crunchy?
Yeah, this is the genius of this recipe. I love this technique for cooking French fries because, normal French fry recipes, you may be doing multiple batches in and out of the oil, lower temperature to a higher temperature. It can get a little dizzying. This recipe simplifies the technique. You start with cold oil in your Dutch oven, you add your French fries, and you let the oil come up to temperature. And as it's coming up to temperature, it's not only slowly cooking the potatoes so they get nice and tender, but once the oil gets hot enough, it starts to fry it and crisp out the outside. So it's a really straightforward method to get really delicious French fries.
It's Food Friday here on Central Time, and we're talking with Dan Zuccarello, who's the executive food editor for cookbooks at America's Test Kitchen. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Help us understand what your favorite seafood dish is and why. Why do you like to make it here in Wisconsin or beyond if you're listening outside of the state? Is there something you need help with, something you can't quite get right with your recipe? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. We'll see if we can figure it out together. When we go and if we're not catching our own fish and we're purchasing fish, what should we be looking for, Dan, to make sure that we're choosing the right fish with the right level of freshness?
Yeah. So if you're looking for fresh fish, a couple suggestions, get friendly with your fishmonger. I think asking questions is always a good thing. What is fresh that day? The people behind the counter love to give you advice. Don't be afraid to talk with them. When you're buying fillets fresh, I always recommend buying larger portions and then cutting them yourself. That's a great way to really ensure that you're going to have uniform pieces. That's going to lead to, better cooking of your fish. Larger pieces also store better in your refrigerator. So if you're planning to, serve the fish a few days after you buy it, buying larger portions is going to help with that. On the freezer side of things, the good news is that, flash freezing technology is really great. And that means that the consumer benefits a lot because you can be assured of good quality. And, most of that fish is, or all of the fish is frozen at the peak of its freshness. So you get really great quality from the freezer. Look for things, vacuum sealed in the freezer section. That's going to really help and ensure that you get the best product.
Where do you see people go wrong when they take on fish?
I think, in terms of buying frozen fish, I think, a lot of people in the United States, their best option is buying frozen fish. I think, taking a look at the back of the bag is a really important thing. Particularly with frozen fish, I think in particular you want to look out for any additives that will cause the fish to become really saturated with water. I think again, like I was talking about with the temperature, I think people tend to try to just continue to cook their fish until it's perfectly brown, and they can kind of tend to overcook their fish. So again, the temperature thing a really important key to well cooked fish.
Yeah. It's Food Friday. We're talking about choosing, preparing, and cooking seafood with Dan Zuccarello from America's Test Kitchen. We've got three of the Test Kitchen seafood recipes posted at WPR.org/Food Friday. Those came from their book, Foolproof Fish, Modern Recipes for Everyone, Everywhere, which came out last year. And right now you can join us at 800-642-1234. What question do you have about seafood? Maybe you've got a favorite dish and you want to share it with us. Now's the time at 800-642-1234. We continue this conversation ahead on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. We're talking about how to improve our seafood game during this edition of Food Friday. Dan Zuccarello is our guest. He's the executive food editor for cookbooks at America's Test Kitchen. And you can give us a call with your question at 800-642-1234. We've got Jim from Baraboo on the line. Hey, Jim.
Hey, howdy. How you doing?
Good, thanks. What do you want to talk about when it comes to seafood?
Well, I wanted to ask Dan, or number one, tell him we watch the show, America's Test Kitchen, and appreciate it. And I used to travel to Maine for business years ago, and a big fish, other than lobster, as they said it out there, the lobster, was something called scrod, S-C-R-O-D, that we had in a few taverns. And it was pretty good, but I wasn't quite sure what kind of fish it was. Does he know about scrod?
Let's find out, Jim. Thanks so much for the call. And the question, Dan, scrod.
Yeah, so this is kind of a New England nomenclature, but scrod is basically just young cod or haddock. It's a younger fish. So it scrod, cod, potatoes.
Sounds good. Well, Jim, hopefully that answers your question. And it's a perfect way for us to talk about Grant, who emailed in. Grant says, I love seafood cakes. My favorite is a blend of scallops, shrimp, and scrod. Does the guest have any surefire tips when making perfect seafood cakes?
Well, we have this delicious crab cake that comes to mind, and I think the techniques that we use in that cake can be really applied to all different types of cakes. I think a couple things, a delicate hand is always important. You know, you can definitely overwork seafood, and it can get tough and rubbery, so a delicate hand is always important. Moderation in the filler is also really important. I think a little bit of panko breadcrumbs goes a long way. A little bit of salt and pepper. Maybe you like to add some garlic or a little celery. That's all great. The really cool technique that we use in our best crab cakes is instead of using kind of mayonnaise and egg to bind the crab cake, we actually use shrimp that we process in a food processor and use that as the glue. And the cool thing there is that the shrimp actually adds to the flavor of the crab cake, as opposed to egg and mayonnaise, which are kind of just throwaway ingredients flavor-wise.
And we actually have the best crab cakes recipe posted online at WPR.org/Food Friday. So people can check that out and try it for themselves, especially with that extra tip there. We're talking with Dan Zuccarello, who's the executive food editor for cookbooks at America's Test Kitchen. And we're taking your calls. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org. And next up on our list, we've got Ryan from Janesville. Hi, Ryan.
Well, how are you?
Good, thanks. What are you thinking about?
Well, I had a couple things, and it's interesting what the gentleman had just said. I had worked at a restaurant when I was in college, and we used bay scallops. We would puree them in the RoboCoupe, and we would add that to our crab cakes, and it was the perfect glue. So hearing him talk about shrimp was interesting as well. But the reason I called was two things. A, I love fish. I love cooking monkfish. I've cooked fish my whole life, but I want to remind the people that are listening that when you attempt to cook fish in a non-restaurant sort of like facility, make sure you hopefully have good ventilation, whether you're frying or pan searing or whatever, your house will smell like fish for a little while. And so whether you have a window or you cook it out on the grill is something I do sometimes because I have poor ventilation in my new house. But I just wanted to kind of say that sort of thing. But I enjoy your show and I look forward to hearing to the rest of the callers and the gentlemen.
Hey, Ryan, thank you so much for that tip. And Dan, it sounded like you agree.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think about cooking salmon all the time. And, you know, salmon, you know, has a, you know, particular smell to it, especially when you're pan frying it on the stovetop. I actually, you know, I have grown, you know, to really enjoy using my air fryer lately. And I got to tell you, you know, you want to cook fish really well, air frying or roasting. That's a great option. You know, you get really even heat. And I find, you know, particularly with things like salmon that tend to, you know, perfume the house, you put it in your oven. And, you know, I find it to be a better way to kind of keep the smell down.
Okay, good tips. Excellent. And the air fryer works well for you with fish.
Oh, I love my air fryer for cooking fish. You know, I've recently been cooking swordfish in my air fryer, and I think it's the best option.
Excellent. We've got Karen and Monona ready to talk with us now. Hey, Karen.
Hi. I have one word, tilapia. It doesn't have much flavor itself. I've tried doing it with crumbs, and it seems to fall apart. I've tried egg dips and any number of other things, cornmeal. Do you have a good recipe for tilapia that makes it better than it is by itself?
Karen, thank you so much for sharing what is a bit of a defeat here. Dan, help out Karen with one word, tilapia.
You know, tilapia seems to be everywhere. I think it's a really great fish. You see it in the freezer section. You see it on the fresh fish counters. You know, it's a great fish because it does well with all types of flavors. So really, whatever you decide to cook, tilapia works well. I think if the caller's, you know, looking for an easy way to kind of spruce up their tilapia, a simple sauce goes a long way. You know, maybe it's a basic pesto. You know, I keep pesto around all the time because I always am using it. A simple herb sauce like that is really great. There's a recipe in our cookbook for tilapia with blistered green beans and a red pepper relish. And I think it's a really simple dish to bring together, but the red pepper relish, it's tangy, it's sweet from the bell peppers, and the whole thing comes together. And I have to tell you, it is anything but boring.
What about that issue of the fish just falling apart on Karen?
Yeah, well, I will say, you know, I was talking about getting a good digital instant read thermometer, but I think the other tool for the kitchen that's important when you're cooking fish is a really great fish spatula. I actually have two in my kitchen, particularly for when I'm cooking delicate fillets such as tilapia, because what I like to do is sneak one, you know, spatula underneath the fillet and then kind of balance it on the top with the other, and I kind of do a delicate flip, and that way I don't have to worry about my fillets falling apart.
Well, Karen, I hope that helps the next time you take on tilapia. Dan, you mentioned that one of your favorites is lobster. What can you tell us about selecting a lobster and cooking it the right way?
Well, again, I mean, I think you want to talk to your fishmonger and make sure you're, you know, you're getting a good lobster. I'm a fan of just, you know, a simple technique, you know, bring a pot of water to a boil. And, you know, the great thing about lobster is it's a really easy, you know, shellfish to cook. But yeah, you know, boiling water, throw it in the pot. And, you know, depending on the size of the lobster, you know, it's usually about, you know, 15, 20 minutes till it's properly cooked. But yeah, you can't go wrong with lobster.
I think some people do hesitate in cooking lobster because they are alive. What's the most humane way to go about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think if people are concerned about, you know, cooking lobster, you know, and they want to make sure they're doing it humanely, you know, we tend to tell people to first, you know, stun them by, I mean, there's no pretty way to talk about it, but really right. To just, you know, take a knife and, you know, if you can insert it through the head, it's a really fast way to, you know, kill the lobster before you throw it into the boiling water.
Right. And I think that's something that we rub up against every time we're eating any sort of meat or fish or anything that has been alive. And I think that is a challenge for some people. And so to know that at least they can figure out the easiest or the least intrusive way to handle these things, that's important. Dan, any final words of wisdom for us here when it comes to cooking seafood? You can take it any direction you want.
Well, I think the other topic that people think about when they're talking about seafood is sustainability. I think that more and more there's this, you know, need for awareness of overfishing or, you know, harmful fishing practices. I think the good news is that, you know, markets and fish markets are doing a much better job with being transparent about where they're sourcing their fish from and the sustainability. I think if any of your listeners, you know, are interested in this, you know, take a look at Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch, seafoodwatch.org. They're constantly updating the information on different, you know, fish species in terms of sustainability. Can really help you be informed at the fish market.
All right. Thank you so much, Dan. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Dan Zuccarello is the executive food editor for cookbooks at America's Test Kitchen. And we've been talking about him on this Food Friday, How to Cook Seafood. And that's based on the book.